Hello and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of December 12th, 2011. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and beside me is the lovely, talented, and giggly Melissa Hansen.
I'm caught in a giggle loop all of a sudden, and I don't know why.
An excellent lead-in, because what have you been doing entertainment-wise this week?
I've been going across the pond with my Hulu.
Yes.
A couple of British shows I've been watching this week. The first one was Whites, which is a new show. It's just one series. It's set in a restaurant, like in a hotel, and very much got an office-y feel to it, the British office.
That documentary, mockumentary style?
Yeah, it's got that style and the kind of characters, and there's a lot about it that's got the feel. And the lead character is kind of a David Brent kind of guy. He's a bit of an ass, but he doesn't realize what he's saying. He's not saying things to be mean, but they come out that way, and then he's got to dig himself out of situations. And it was a good show. It was very, very dry humor. Very dry. It wasn't laugh out loud kind of stuff. It was like kind of smile and chuckle kind of things. But I liked it. It stars Alan Davies, who I don't know much. He's done some work in England. And actually, just looking through, he's actually one of the people on Stephen Fry's game show, QI.
I didn't know Stephen Fry had a game show.
Well, look at that. Yeah, he's got a game show. He's had it for years. And it's kind of a trivia show, but it's the contestants are all kind of famous British comedians. So I've actually seen him because I've seen that show when I've been over in London. So
not in person, you're talking about on TV.
Not in person, but I mean on TV because I didn't really recognize him.
Right.
But it's a good cast, and you kind of have the quirky characters and, you know, kind of the set in the workplace. And so I like it. So if you really are into British humor, it's a newer series. Like I said, it's on Hulu now. It's only like 6 episodes. You might want to check that out. And the other thing I was rewatching, one of my favorite shows, Coupling.
Love it.
Actually, the British version, not the American version, don't even... Let's pretend that one didn't happen, okay?
I don't even think you can find it anywhere.
On YouTube or something. I know you can find clips of the American version, but that's just...
Although there are people you'll recognize who are in it, but it's still terrible.
Yeah, the cast was good, but it didn't translate. No. It just didn't work. So we're going to pretend it didn't happen. Let's talk about the British version.
Right. Brought to you by the showrunner for Doctor Who, Stephen Moffat.
Okay, here's how I've decided to describe it.
Okay.
I think this captures it perfectly. It's like Friends, but you know how Friends, they all met in the coffee shop?
Yeah.
And Coupling, they all meet in the pub. That kind of tells you kind of the difference in the shows, the directions they had.
Yeah.
It's not a family-friendly show at all.
There is no filter on this.
No. It is all about sex and all about the difference between men and women and relationships. And there's not much full-out nudity we see or anything like that, but the language... It's pretty harsh, but it's brilliantly funny.
Yes.
Yeah,
that
so
fantastic
good.
Cast.
The cast is... Jack Davenport's probably the most famous now because he was in Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Right.
He's in it. Gina Bellman, who's... You can watch her here now in Leverage.
Right. The Timothy Hutton show.
She stars in that. Sarah Alexander, who, if you're into British humor, she was on Smack the Pony, which is... a sketch comedy show, really famous one.
She had a short-lived American comedy, too, a sitcom about teachers.
Yeah, you're right, she did.
CBS or something.
Let's see, Ben Miles was just on Masterpiece Mystery, just did a series on that, and I'm stretching, Zen, Rufus Sewell that was on this summer.
Okay.
And he was on that, so people might recognize him. And then Kate, is it?
Yeah, I don't know how you say her last name.
And then Richard Coyle,
who
plays Jeffrey. It, like I said, it's one of my favorite shows. It's hysterically funny, completely inappropriate humor. It was 4 seasons, but we're going to forget the American version. We're going to kind of forget the 4th season on this.
Yeah, ill-advised.
Yeah, because Richard Coyle left the show. And he really was the glue, I think, that held it together.
I agree.
Stuff tended to revolve around him, and he just had the best of it. I mean, definitely an ensemble, but without him, it kind of fell apart.
Yeah, I reviewed the first 2 series for Verdict, and then I think Amanda did the 3rd one. But again, you talk about brilliant writing, brilliant direction, brilliant cast. There are concepts, there are words, there's phrases that just sink into the zeitgeist. Right. That once you watch this show, there will be things that stay with you forever.
Right, exactly. And there's terms that I now use in my everyday life.
Yes.
You know, sock gap, melty man, giggle loop.
Lesbian spank inferno.
Exactly. And it is. You haven't seen the show, you don't know what they are, but if you watch the show, you'll be like, oh my God, that's right. I do that. And now I have a term for it.
Yeah. So this is on Hulu.
Yeah. And the whole series, which when you're talking British, it gets confusing. Seasons, series. Here we call the whole thing a series, and it's broken in seasons. In Britain, each what we called seasons are called series.
Yeah, and they weren't so always continuous from year to year. Sometimes they'd take a couple years off, and then they'd come back and do another
one. Right, they would do however many, and some series were 6 episodes, some were 9.
Right.
That just whatever worked. When they had good stuff to shoot, they shot it and put it on TV. If they didn't have good stuff to shoot, then they waited.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, one that more American programmers should adopt.
Yeah, and we've gotten closer to that, especially on cable, doing the shorter seasons and breaking them up and things like that, which I really like. So
it keeps the quality level high.
Exactly. I'd rather have 13 great episodes than a 22 episode season where they're half good and half not so good.
And then filled with repeats, you know, just ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But thinking or staying with this whole group of friends concept, I just literally got back from a Q&A with the cast of Community.
You're so lucky.
Oh, it was fantastic. At the Screen Actors Guild Foundation does these events for actors here in town. It's, you know, it's a bonding thing. It's a way to learn from other actors, and it's a great opportunity to get some inside scoop on what things are doing. And unfortunately, Community's in a position now where they're on hiatus, and they do not know. I mean, they honestly do not know if and when that they will be returning. It's all, as Joel McHale say, it's kind of a March, April thing that they don't, you know, nobody's saying anything.
Yeah, and like I said before, I think it depends, honestly, on how the new sitcoms do.
Right.
The mid-seasons, you know, if they are worse off, then they'll pull it and put Community on. So you don't want to root for somebody to fail, but I'm rooting for them to fail. I don't care. I want Community back.
Well, the sad thing is it all comes down to ratings and Nielsen ratings. This is the only thing that's driving this decision.
Right.
Because
which is,
it is the most DVR'd show right now. These guys were talking about this today.
And it's top of the list on Hulu, too, now that Hulu just picked it up. It's like one of their most popular shows.
But the only way they make money off is if people buy episodes through iTunes, or, as Gillian said, sales figures on DVDs also speak highly for the show. You know, they all said, just keep talking about it. Keep tweeting about it. Keep Facebooking about it. Keep the keep the love alive, because that's what's going to eventually bring this show back.
Fingers crossed.
Almost everybody was there. They were all supposed to, the entire series regular cast was supposed to have been there, but Donald Glover had a conflict, so he couldn't be there. And Chevy wasn't originally supposed to be there, and then he was, and then they said today that he was sick. So
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, so it was Joel McHale, Gillian Jacobs, you and I saw. It was a Paul Tompkins show, I think you and I saw.
Yeah, it was Paul F. Tompkins.
His live stage
show. He does a live stage show every month in LA, and it's very cool. A little bit of music, a little bit of kind of sketches they do, and we were lucky enough to see her live.
Yeah, Danny Pudi, of course, Chicago boy, Danny Pudi. Yvette Nicole Brown, who plays Shirley, who I absolutely adore. Allison Brie, Ken Jeong, and Jim Rash, who plays Dean Pelton.
Yeah.
Who I just learned tonight and didn't make the connection. Jim actually wrote the screenplay for George Clooney's The Descendants.
Really?
Which just won the LA Film Critics Movie of the Year Award.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a very good chance that he could be Oscar nominated writer Jim Rash.
That I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Wow, impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. But long story short, these guys together, I can honestly say what you see on screen that's funny is 10 times funnier when they're all sitting in the same room talking together.
Oh, I bet.
And I do have to say that Yvette is the sweetest, most inspirational. I think she's probably the closest to her character.
Okay.
Of Shirley, that kind of mothering, very giving, very inspirational. She was telling some stories. She had 3 pilots that season that she was auditioning for Community, and two others that she had a very good chance of making. One was playing Sherry Shepherd's best friend on the Sherry Shepherd show, which was a cable.
Okay.
She didn't get either one of them, and she almost did not go to this audition for Community because of it, because she had just found out. But she went, and when she got there, she said it was every black actress in town who she loves and respects, and said it's not fair that there are so few parts for women of color that they all have to fight each other for these small roles. And she got so angry. One of her friends said, this surely is supposed to be angry. Take that anger into the room, you know, for the audition. And she did, and it got her the part.
Wow.
But she was only cast 30 minutes before the table read.
No.
The first episode. And you want to hear something else. Gillian Jacobs auditioned like 4 or 5 times. She's known in town for playing prostitutes and drug addicts and molestation victims and rape victims. So she had to go back and forth between network and stuff. And the day of the table read, she was between her and a girl from New York who were up. And they said, well, it's going to come down to this. Whoever gets it has to go from Universal Studios, where they're doing the audition for the network, back to Culver City at Sony for the table read that afternoon in a very short amount of time. So she went and did the audition. The other girl did the audition. They called Gillian back in to do it again. And they wouldn't give him an answer. So she said, well, I guess I need to get in the car and start driving. And they said,
just in case.
So then they call her and they say, well, it's about 95% sure you have it. She's like, what does that mean? So she drives like a bat out of hell to Sony, gets there. The producer, Dan Harmon, introduces the cast. And apparently they get down to, and they said, and our Britta, Gillian Jacobs, and she starts to cry because apparently they negotiated the contract while she was in the car. She had no idea. And when she got there, they announced it. And Yvette said, she said, I have never seen a human being spill forth so much joy in an instant as you did right there.
Wow, that's an amazing story.
And it gets even weirder because Alison Brie, who plays Annie, wasn't even cast when that first table read happened. They went through 2 weeks of rehearsals. Without having an Annie. They saw hundreds, if not thousands, of women for the role. She got cast the day before they started to shoot.
Wow.
And walks on to set. Ken Jeong was the only member of that cast who was offered a role. And that was because he was coming off his part in The Hangover.
Right, exactly.
Harmon actually wrote that part for him.
And that was such a smaller role at the beginning.
Right, it wasn't supposed to be a series regular, you know.
Yeah.
He was just a recurring character, as was Dean Pelton was just a recurring character. And just
right,
the season,
yeah, they both were. They weren't in the credits and stuff at the beginning.
And he wasn't even the real Dean. They had another actor who played the Dean and then replaced him with Jim.
Wow.
So it's like against all odds that the show came together the way it did.
Yeah, exactly. And came together perfectly.
So many stories that they were telling in just 45 minutes.
That's a shame. That's how short it was.
Yeah.
Sure, they could have gone on for
They definitely could have. But there you go. I'm done talking about Community.
Okay.
But no, please do. It's a great show. If you have not seen it, please check it out because it deserves to get a full third season and a fourth and fifth season, in my opinion. So, very smart.
6 seasons in a movie.
There you go. All right, let's talk about box office this past week. How did we not know? We didn't talk about The Sitter last week, did we? The Sitter came out this past week, which was the remake of Adventures in Babysitting, and I think that flew under our radar because we didn't mention it.
Yeah, but it's not just a typical like remake.
No, it's a Jonah Hill remake.
It's Jonah Hill playing the babysitter.
It's a hard R, as Dave Johnson would say.
This was like huge when they were announcing it.
Yeah.
And then it just disappeared, man.
Well, you know, there were a couple other people who were supposed to star in that project before it got to him.
Yeah, Miley Cyrus.
And Raven Simone.
Yeah, so a slightly changed there. But yeah, it did well. But you're right. I haven't really heard much about it. I didn't even realize it was coming out. And all of a sudden it was there. And it actually came in second for the box office. It was pretty weak box office overall.
This was the worst week in 3 years.
New Year's Eve, which we talked about last week, won with only $13.7 million, which is not much at all. And then The Sitter with 10, and then Twilight finally fell, 7.9 for the weekend. And then kind of what we had before, all the kids' movies after that, Muppets and Arthur Christmas and Hugo. So,
yeah.
But yeah, really weak box office.
Although this next week is going to be big because we've got Mission Impossible 4, mm-hmm. Ghost Protocol, which most people don't know, and I'm not sure. Brad Bird, who directed the Impossibles. Incredibles. Why did I say Impossibles? Wow, I am the biggest Pixar fan in the world, and I just flubbed that. He directed The Incredibles and Ratatouille for Pixar, and this is his first live-action film.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes, Game of Chefs. Yep. And then you've got the awards season stuff. You've got Young Adult, which is Diablo Cody and Jason Reitman, their follow-up to Juno. It's getting all sorts of awards season buzz, especially for Patton Oswalt, who has a supporting role. And Carnage, which is the Roman Polanski story about these two couples and their kids who get in trouble, with Jodie Foster and Kate Winslet and John C. Reilly and Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds. But then we also have another kids movie. Did you hear about
this? Yeah, we have Alvin and the Chipmunks. Chipwrecked.
How do they keep making these things?
I don't know.
Okay, well, what do we got coming out on DVD and Blu-ray this coming week? If you're not going to go to the movies, you can stay home and watch stuff.
Yeah. Let's take a look over at DVD Verdict, at upcoming DVD releases. And you can click on and see the whole cover art gallery.
For December 13th.
With the titles.
Family Guy, which is another show that I just don't understand. I mean, I've watched stuff, I've reviewed stuff. Yeah. It's just, I don't understand the rabid following it has. But hey, that's just me.
Yeah, I'm with you. I watch it and I'll laugh a little, but I don't get it. Fright Night, the remake of Fright Night.
Yeah, with Colin Farrell.
And DVD and Blu-ray. And
when David Tennant, I forgot.
Combo
David.
And, yeah, David Tennant's in it.
He plays the Roddy McDowell role from the original.
Yeah, so I did not see it when it was in the theater, but I'll probably check it out.
Did you see the original?
For that, no.
No.
It's a horror movie. Do you think I've watched
it? Yeah, but it was kind of a horror comedy.
But I'll probably check it out just to see David Tennant.
Yeah.
So, Heavenly Creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Is coming out on Blu-ray, which is Peter Jackson's, one of his early ones. And it's Kate Winslet and Melanie Lynskey.
From Two and a Half Men.
From Two and a Half Men. She plays Rose, but she's had quite a career before that. It's a really great movie. It's a very disturbing movie.
Very subversive, yeah.
Two teenage girls who become really good friends and do some bad things. And
yikes.
Yeah, very well done movie.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's a strong indication that Peter Jackson had talent back then, you know.
Yeah, well, all three of them had talent, for sure.
Kung Fu Panda 2. I saw the first one. I reviewed it for Verdict, and I enjoyed it. I have not seen the second one, but I know it did well at the box office, and I'm sure it's going to do gangbusters on TV.
Mm-hmm.
One movie I did see and really enjoyed, which was a complete surprise to me this past summer, was Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
And I am not a James Franco fan, and this really isn't.
You cannot be a James Franco fan.
Oh, my God. He's so terrible.
What's wrong with you?
He's so terrible.
James Franco.
He's a meathead. He's an affected method acting meathead. But this movie really caught me by surprise because I was a huge fan of the cheesiness of the original franchise. I mean, the first movie was great, and then all the sequels kind of just played off of, you know, Roddy McDowell and Kim Hunter's cheesy chimpanzee thing, but this, it really made an impact on me. It was excellent storytelling. They piggybacked off the CGI motion capture work of Avatar, and one of the visual effects supervisors was saying there's no way we could have made this movie if Avatar had never happened, but it's really, really impressive and worth checking out. Even if you just have a modicum of interest in sci-fi stories, this is really, really good.
Something that caught my eye, The Rocketeer is out on Blu-ray.
Oh, I love that movie.
Billy Campbell, Jennifer Connelly.
Joe Johnston, who did Captain America with Chris Evans. That was one of his early movies. And I forgot Terry O'Quinn is in that, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Timothy Dalton plays the bad guy. Alan Arkin plays Billy's friend and mentor. It really, it's a lovely film. If you want to give a Transformers gift to somebody, you can do all three Transformers movies in a big Autobot head.
Wait, I thought we were supposed to be nice at Christmas time.
We are. we're nice to Michael Bay.
Yeah, because he needs that.
Right, right.
He needs more money and encouragement to make more. Please.
Yeah, yeah, he's already signed on, apparently, for the fourth one.
God.
It was just announced this past week. Is that, look up at the top, there's a movie called Church, the movie. Is that Eddie from Family Matters?
It looks like it, doesn't it? Darius McCray, yes it is.
Okay, good to see he still has a career. If Urkel can work, he can work.
Is Urkel working?
I think so, isn't he?
He was on a Psych episode like 3 years ago.
That's right, he was one of Dulé's friends. It's Jaleel White, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was like Barbershop Quartet kind of stuff. That's what I've seen him in.
Well, he was in Dreamgirls.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He was in Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer.
Oh, well, I missed that one somehow.
He was in Megashark versus Crocosaurus.
Well, that's not that surprising. I will believe that one.
Okay. Hey, he's still working. 35 years old. Urkel is 35.
Holy cow.
All right. Well, there you go. If you want to support DVD Verdict, check out the links. Add it to your Christmas wish list. Buy stuff for friends. I don't know, generally have a good time. If we're staying home and watching movies, let's look at streaming really quick. All the James Bond movies are back. This happens on Netflix. They kind of go away for a while. It must be a licensing agreement with MGM and Fox, who own the rights. But they're there for a while, and then they go away, and then they come back. So they're all back, including the Pierce Brosnan films, which weren't available before.
Oh, nice.
So, there's that. I don't think the Daniel Craig versions are on there yet, but up until Pierce Brosnan, you've got all those.
Okay.
Heathers, the Christian Slater Winona Ryder movie. Subversive, talk about subversive humor. And Waiting for Superman. I did not see this, but it was very highly touted, critically acclaimed.
I've lived it. I don't need to see it. Too depressing.
On the education
about,
community.
Yeah, education in America. Yeah. So, and I worked in the education system for a few years, and I know how messed up it is. I don't need to see it on my TV, thank you. But it is supposed to be an excellent documentary.
Yeah. So that's all on Netflix this week. All right, I'm turning it over to you. I'm going to shut up and let you talk about TV.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, again, since we're in December, we've got the whole ABC Family 25 Days of Christmas. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown so you can see if any of your favorite specials are on this week. So here we go. Monday, Flintstone Christmas, 12 Dates of Christmas, and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Speaking of Chevy Chase.
Tuesday, it's all Dr. Seuss. They're doing The Cat in the Hat, which isn't really Christmas, but that leads into The Grinch. Grinch's The Cat in the Hat.
Terrible.
And then into How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Wonderful.
The real one.
Yeah.
At Wednesday, Mary Madagascar, which is
you're kidding
a special
me.
About the new animated movie.
I'm sorry, does every animated movie now have to make a Christmas special? Because Ice Age just came out and did one.
Yes, well, and after Mary Madagascar is Kung Fu Panda Holiday Special.
Oh.
So obviously they do. And then Frosty's Winter Wonderland. Thursday is A Chipmunk Christmas. And Friday we have a Disney Evening with Mickey's Christmas Special and Mickey's Christmas Carol.
What's Mickey's Christmas Special?
It's a special. Christmas with Mickey Mouse. Really had to ask it? Come on. And then Saturday and Sunday they have different movies all day long. So you could just, you know, sit on your couch and drink hot cocoa and be all set.
Yeah, and listen to everybody in the world keep saying how many days are left till Christmas. I don't need to know those people, whether it be on Twitter, Facebook, movies, television. Shut up already. I can figure out how many days are left till Christmas.
Important,
you don't need
information.
To keep reminding me.
They're just trying to help you.
Ugh, you're giving me a headache is what they're doing.
Well, they're trying to help. Be nice.
Yeah.
So, other stuff that's going on this week, not on ABC Family, big news.
What?
Not for me. I don't really care at all, but I'm sure for some people it's big news. Fear Factor's back.
You're kidding? With Joe Rogan?
Mm-hmm. Same old show kind of thing. It's back Monday on ABC.
Ooh, they switched networks. It used to be NBC.
Oh, did I? Shoot. Fear Factor's back Monday on NBC. No, it is NBC.
That's okay.
You caught all that, right?
Yep.
Make me sound smart?
Yep.
So, Tuesday, staying on NBC, we have William and Kate inside the royal marriage, because it's only been 6 months, so I'm sure there's tons to tell about their marriage.
Is her sister going to be a special guest in this? Because she gets
just her ass, not all of them.
Nice.
And then Wednesday, Baba Wawa's presenting the 10 most fascinating people of 2011.
So Barbara is still alive, for people who are wondering.
Yes. Thursday on ABC, we have Charlie Brown. Yay. And then that's followed by The Year with Katie Couric. The whole year. This is her big special. Yeah.
The new network.
Yeah. So it's on ABC.
Yeah. Because she loves CBS.
Special with her. And then Saturday, you can go on over to CBS and back to Christmas specials, Frosty and The Story of Santa Claus. So that's our week in TV.
All right. Nice.
Asses and Christmas. There you go. I'm not talking about Pippa.
What else you got going on entertainment there, Missy?
Yeah, well, there's some. Were you like Missy as a nickname or just...
No. Just like
capital
sister.
Okay.
Because I know you hate that
I'm just
name,
making so, sure because
yes.
You didn't know me in elementary school, so you don't get to call me
That's
Missy.
Right.
Only people who knew me then get to call me it.
Yeah.
Music. This is like, okay, talk about feeling old.
Yes.
Like, girl's 35. Naughty by Nature has a new album out.
Oh, my God.
Which they got back together. They haven't been together. It's Anthem, Inc. But it's special. It's the 20th anniversary of Naughty by Nature.
Oh,
they've been around 20 years since...
wow.
OPP.
Yeah, you know
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you know me. So you can check that out.
Wow.
And then if you want to keep reliving like the 80s, there is a tribute album.
Yes.
Please, tribute to the Smiths.
Oh, interesting.
It's all kind of smaller acts. It's nobody really hugely famous, but
it's covers.
Yeah, it's covers of Smiths tunes.
Oh.
So that looks very interesting to me. And another thing that kind of caught my eye was We Bought a Zoo soundtrack is coming out.
You know, this was another movie that I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to. It's Cameron Crowe, who's directing,
mm-hmm.
and Elle Fanning is starring. It's based on a real story.
Yeah, it is. It looks interesting, and the soundtrack looks very, very interesting.
Okay.
Since Cameron and Nancy have split up, he needed to find somebody else to do the music for his movies, I guess.
That's right.
Okay, and we're going with the pronouncing names again thing.
Good luck.
Jonsi, who is the musician from Iceland.
Oh, God, is she related to Bjork?
Well, no, it's a him, first of all. And no. But I listened to a little bit of it, and it's beautiful. There's a couple songs that actually he and Cameron worked on together, and then it's a bit of score. And it's kind of whimsical, but maybe a little melancholy in there. It's really beautiful music. So something really interesting, especially into film score, to check that out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe Clark will feature it on one of his shows.
Yeah, it would be something interesting, kind of different. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Clark, are you listening? And let's go over to books.
Okay.
The Economics of Beer.
Seriously?
By Johan F.M. Swinnen. It's about how taxing beer works and the sales of it and stuff. And this book caught my eye because I recently watched the documentary Beer Wars.
Yes.
Which is really excellent.
Yeah.
If you're into like kind of craft beer, microbrewery, or if you're into... how economics works, or if you're into documentaries, Beer Wars is excellent.
Yeah.
Interesting information in that, and I'm hoping the book will be similar.
Yeah.
Another new one that's coming out, it's coming out now, and it's interesting, we talked about her last week, Elizabeth Sladen, Sarah Jane from the Doctor Whoiverse, has an autobiography.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's her autobiography.
Because she was going through cancer treatment at the time
right,
when she passed
right.
away.
So obviously she was writing while she was going through the treatment.
Good for her.
So that's out this week.
I want to check that out.
Yeah. Another one about not a famous person, famous animal, Rin Tin Tin, The Life and the Legend.
Huh.
Which Susan Orlean, who writes for The New Yorker.
Okay.
And I actually heard about this book on the public radio show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She happened to be on it.
Okay.
On the show and talked about this book. And I don't think I knew this. Rin Tin Tin was a real dog. It wasn't a made-up character. An American soldier in World War I found this newborn German shepherd in this, like, bombed-out kennel.
No kidding.
And ended up keeping it and bringing the dog back to the States with him, and it named it Rin Tin Tin.
Wow.
And this is an amazing dog, and they ended up making pictures with him. So it was like a real dog. It wasn't like Lassie, like a written character, and then they found dogs to play it.
I had no idea.
Real dog. So it's actually an entire book about the story of Rin Tin Tin.
Which is interesting because it kind of parallels the whole War Horse thing that Steven Spielberg's movie is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my picks that I may be checking out for books this week.
Great.
Let's see. Should we get cultured or pretend we are?
Aren't we cultured already? Do we need more?
Well, come on. Why not?
Okay.
Please, let me show off a little.
All right.
Let's see. I'm talking about asses and like sex and coupling.
Just trying to raise the quality level. Okay. All right. I hear you. Go ahead.
New play, Once, based on the movie Once.
Oh, that.
The musical.
Little indie.
Yeah, little Irish indie musical.
Yeah.
Movie. Such a beautiful piece and beautiful music in that. They've actually turned it into a play. And it's a different team that wrote the play. They adapted it. They changed sounds like quite a bit. They really fleshed out other characters and they've changed some settings, but they've kept the music. They've actually written a couple new songs. So that'll be in it. It's off Broadway right now at New York Theater Workshop. And of course, the hope always is that it'll end up being on Broadway in the future.
All right. Now from cultured back down to the dirty underbelly of Hollywood.
Yes.
We have, which is probably one of the dumbest surveys ever created by man or woman, posted this
week. Yeah, this was created by woman, sure.
Men's Health did this online poll of the 100 hottest women, not of 2011, not of, you know, this decade, but of all time, okay? The 100 hottest women
Mary
of all
Magdalene
time.
Mary Magdalene on it?
No,
it's
she didn't make the
Mary Magdalene wasn't on it.
Mother Teresa wasn't on it either. But at the very top is Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Which, I'm sorry, I had a crush on her when she was on Friends as well, but the 100 hottest women of all time, if Jennifer Aniston is your number one, you've got some serious, serious problems.
Yeah. I like her acting. I think she's a good actress. You know, any interviews I see with her, she seems like a lovely person. I would love to sit and have a cocktail with her, get to know her. But she has, she's a great body. But I'm sorry, I don't think she's pretty. I don't get the Jennifer Aniston fascination. I never have.
And can we define a hotness? I mean, this is so subjective when it comes to something like this.
Yeah. And that's actually why I looked at, I glanced through the whole list.
Yeah.
And I actually liked it because there was a lot. I mean, it's mainly what actresses and some models.
Yeah.
Things like that. But, you know, Sophia Loren's on it. And so you had from different time periods. You know, it wasn't all just young today.
But I mean, look at the bottom of the list. Like Mila Kunis is number 96.
Yeah, please bump her up.
Yeah.
That, like I said, I think it was great. They had, you know, from different time periods, and they have different body types too. I mean, Christina Hendricks is on that list.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think overall it's a good list. I would definitely argue with some of those numbers.
But it's lists like these that drive all sorts of traffic and talk show hosts. And hey, we're talking about it, right? So they've got us talking about it.
Exactly. Yeah, we just talked about Men's Health and. You know, I'm sure sending people there to look at it. So it worked. It worked. Controversy's not always a bad thing. And speaking of controversy.
Yes.
The other big news, because if we're not talking about Kardashians, we have to be talking about Lohans. Actually, two big newses with Lindsay. Her Playboy pictures that she got like $1 million for got totally leaked. All of them, not just the cover, on the internet. So
now here's the story that I
don't have at it, and you don't have to pay Playboy for them.
So the hacker who apparently got these pictures said he didn't break into Playboy, that Lindsay had a file sharing account that she was sending stuff to her friends and he got it through there.
Swift.
So the genius created her own problem.
Well, she already got a paycheck. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so we'll see what, because I'm sure it would have been one of the highest selling issues for them. I wonder what it'll do now.
Yeah.
But the other Lindsay news, the probation department let her go on vacation to Hawaii.
Yeah, I saw that. She came out of the Santa Monica courthouse after that request the other day.
Yeah, so they gave her the paperwork, let her go. So what does she do? She leaves her probation paperwork, her passport, and like 10 grand cash in her purse in a car while she goes into a party.
Why are you carrying all of that stuff to a party?
Right. Like, why?
10
why
grand?
You
Who carries
your
10
passport?
Grand?
Did she not know that Hawaii is in the United States? Did she think she needed a passport to
Maybe
go?
She doesn't have a driver's license. Maybe she got revoked or something.
That's true. But anyhow, left it. So comes out to leave the party because what, her purse is gone. Imagine that.
Now, isn't this the same thing that happened when she was at the Cannes Festival?
It actually is. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So anyhow.
And she's doing court on Wednesday.
Right. And so this was the whole thing. But of course, there was some suspicious looking guy and her friends, you know, questioned him and the purse showed back up. Minus the 10 grand cash. But yeah, so we don't have to worry about Lindsay going back to jail because she can't make it home. Well, who knows? Maybe she'll come up with some other excuse why she can't make it home. But
and yet there was some one part of the article of Playboy talks about how she's learned from her mistakes and how important it is to, you know, for all the stuff she's been through. But she's just, I don't know.
I'm sorry, have we not been hearing this for like 5 years?
Why are we talking about this? You know, it's just, it's sad, really, because somebody is self-destructing, you know, on a major scale. But we've got problems of our own to deal with when we've got things like Occupy Boston being shut down and things like that. These are the stories that get buried, and then Lindsay winds up at the top of the
right,
news.
But we're an entertainment show, so we're not talking about that.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I can talk more Kardashian news if you want.
No. Well, we might as well keep our trend going because...
I know. I'm like actually looking for stuff now.
That's really sad. Let's wrap it up with that.
Really quick. Chris Humphries called Kim's friend who's like her publicist who had his own show. And I don't even know his name. I'm not going to bother looking it up because I really don't care. Said something about him being gay.
Okay.
And so he like yelled at Chris Humphries. So now he's getting death threats from Chris Humphries fans.
This is a train wreck. And then there was the weird thing about Daniel Craig, who was asked in a GQ article about the Kardashians, and he just...
But, yeah, like reality TV. And
then, of course, Mama Chris came out and said, he owes us an apology.
Honey, no one owes you anything. You've already gotten more than you deserve. Oh. Just shut up, take it, and go home.
Oh, and on that bombshell, as Jeremy Clarkson of Top Gear would say, we're going to call it a week. So thank you guys for tuning in. As always, feel free to support DVD Verdict through reading our reviews, listening to our podcasts, buying stuff online, all that good stuff. Or you could send us feedback at mstaley@dvdverdict.com or
mhanson@dvdverdict.com. And to close us out, I think we all need a little bit of a palate cleanser from hypocritical Jerry Springer of last week.
Oh.
So I'm going to go like intellectual and old school because that's the way I swing. and we'll give props to Edward R. Murrow and say good night and good luck.